we only let Luke be a good historian, we've missed a trick. Because Luke is very clearly doing something bigger than that. I think the title has a lot to answer for here. We often say the Acts of the Apostles. It's a good shorthand. But it's shorthand. Do you know what it's shorthand for? This book is the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus Christ. Now we're beginning to get to the focus, okay? Now we're beginning to really feel what Luke is saying. But you know what? It's even more than that. This book is really, I think, the Acts of the Apostles of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Creator, Sustainer, Savior, and Friend. Because one of the things that Luke does with the Acts of the Apostles particularly is he doesn't actually write in street Greek. He doesn't write in the regular Greek. He changes somewhat the style in which he writes in the Greek to match something we know is the Septuagint, the Old Testament translation of God's holy word from Hebrew into Greek. Now, why would you do that as an author? Unless your intention was to say, here's God's Old Testament, I want to put something next to it. I want to show you how God's Old Testament work continues into the new, into the present. And Luke does that. He sets this work up, Luke and Acts together, as the ongoing testimony of the work of God amongst men and women, boys and girls. And now we know why he's writing. The Acts of the Apostles of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and King. Pick whichever titles of Christ you like there, but let's have one that starts with the beginning and goes on to the end, because that's what Luke is doing. Okay, we must understand that Luke paints brilliant pictures. He really is a good author. He gets right into the minutiae, and he gets the big picture. And at different times, you will get this lovely little moment of a lady who colours cloth, who dyes cloth. And it's a very personal moment, and you wonder how he got it. And quite frankly, we know he went and sat with her and talked to her and listened to her. And then you get moments of high drama in political cities, in the big cities, in the squares and the states and the courts of justice. And you ask again, how did he know? Well, he talked to the people who were there if he wasn't there himself. Luke is brilliant like that. But it's not just a skillful written history. So the first thing we note as we get our heads around this book, this work of Luke, the Acts of the Apostles, is this is God at work. That's the first thing. Got to remember that. It's not just history. Oh, it's history. It's his story. But it's God at work. He has previously worked. He is now working. Turn with me to Acts 18. To verses 9 and 10, I want to prove from this passage, just one verse that backs up everything I've been saying about this book. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Okay, there you go. God is still at work. Intervening directly in the ministry of Paul in the course of human history, God is at work. Friends, don't ever forget it. Don't ever doubt it. You know, it can get hard at times to see how God is at work. Sometimes we struggle. Some of us, we've had difficult times in the life of the church recently. Friends, God hasn't stopped working. We may have stopped looking. We may have not heard him. There may be many things, but God has not stopped working. He is at work in the life of the church. The book of Acts is all about the fulfillment of God's plan as he sees it through. It's the plans revealed in the Old Testament, the plans revealed in the book of Luke and the other Gospels as Jesus came and gave us the best ever picture of the plan that is being revealed. This is being fulfilled. The work of God goes on. So Luke's purpose then is primarily not that people would be saved. That's not the first purpose of this book. The first purpose of this book is written to believers. to say, look, your God is at work. Understand how your God is at work. And when you understand how your God is at work, you will join in with that work, and others will see and hear and get the gospel. So it is evangelistic in that sense, but it comes through God's people. God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. And we need to get on board, join in, and he will then use us as part of that purpose. So there's the first thing. God himself is at work. Now then, how is he at work? Well, Luke does help with this. He does take us further in. Luke very clearly records the ongoing mission and message of God. And that is my second heading, if you're wanting to take notes. Look with me at verses 5 and 6, please. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he took out his clothes in protest. He shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I'm clear of my responsibility from now on. I will go to the Gentiles." Notice the message arrives from another place. There's a lot of that in the book of Acts. There's a lot of moving around. There's a lot of people going as God directs to new places. We need to be aware of that in our lives today, that the gospel goes with us to a new place or a new person. Unless you or I are willing to take the gospel into our workplace, into the marketplace, into another country, into our business, it won't go. Or it will go with someone else as God works his purpose out. Must have been quite some move for Crispus, wouldn't it? The synagogue ruler and his entire household believe. That's quite a change. What a message is this that brings about this change? You get an undercurrent here. I think what's going on is Crispus is allowing Paul to preach the gospel. As he really gets it, the synagogue ruler is saying, let's hear from Paul this week. And Paul explains again how prophecy from Isaiah really means that Christianity is the true understanding of the Jewish scriptures. Christianity is the real meaning. This is the message of Old Testament Judaism. We've got it wrong a bit, folks. We need to come back to the Messiah. And actually the Messiah has come. And we need to acknowledge him. And eventually there's enough opposition within the synagogue. And they probably elect Sosthenes, or he's the one left standing after the coup d'etat, as the new leader. And the gospel has divided these people. It's a mission, it's a message, but it has consequences. We don't see it all described in detail here. We see, if you like, the sad side. There's a division at this point. If you read through the book of Acts, you will see the mission comes, the message comes, and there is an outcome to that message. And you will see elsewhere in God's word in Acts that there is a great sense of positive results for the people who hear the message and respond. Communities are formed, communities of care, of love, of joy, of support. Read again the book of Acts with your hat on, just looking for the way the community blesses one another and helps one another. Even when it goes wrong, they work again and work it out, and they have these great council meetings. How are we going to deal with this? And so on. Time and time again, people hear the message and respond, and it has an impact. So the gospel spreads. Our God is at work. He sends men and women on a mission with a message, and the gospel spreads, and it spreads particularly despite opposition. We just picked up on that in these verses, but here's a third heading. The gospel spreads despite opposition. Very clearly, as Luke writes all the way through the book of Acts, opposition is clear. It's there. We mustn't hide from this. All right, that's vitally important. Perhaps you're not yet a believer and you're wondering what it means to be a Christian. Friends, I tell you now, it means to take a side and to discover that other people don't like that you've taken sides. And they'll say so, and they might act on it. You can't sit on the fence and be a Christian. You will not be able to make everybody happy and be a Christian. you should be careful to make sure that you don't offend people for any other reason than the gospel. But offend people you will, because the gospel is exclusive. It says you must believe. There is no other way. Paul himself was stoned in Lystra just a few chapters before. He encourages then the church to continue in the faith, saying that it is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. Being a Christian is no easy ride. It's not a one-time decision that you or I make. Oh yeah, I'm a believer now and that's it. It's the beginning of a road that we walk, a hard road. It's the beginning of a marathon race that we run, a race of change every day. Every day can be a struggle as Christ wants us to be more like him. People will make false claims and true ones. They will arrange internal problems and they will involve the authorities. You see all of that in Acts 18. Okay? There's uproar in the synagogue. You know, it skates over it here, but can you imagine what the internal war was as Crispus and Paul are kicked out and Sosthenes takes over? It must have been painful, personally. It would have made the headlines in town, I'm sure. They involve the authorities. Gallio doesn't come out of this smelling of roses by any means. Not a very good leader by the looks of things. He makes one wise decision, I think, and one bad one. The authorities will sometimes be supportive and they sometimes won't be. As always with politics, it depends what they're looking for as a rule. Luke majors on Paul and the challenges that Paul faced. He is at pains to explain that Paul never offends the Roman authorities. But what we find is that Paul declares that Christianity is the true Judaism, and at times he comes up against the Roman authorities, and he certainly comes up against the Jewish ones. In all the opposition, one thing stands out. The word triumphs. The gospel goes out. Luke uses numerical terms throughout the book of Acts and then runs out of them and just has to keep saying the church got bigger, because very quickly the numbers just, you know, they didn't count like we count today with decimal systems and exponential numbers and all of these clever ways to reveal big numbers. You look through the book of Acts again, you can follow this train through as well. Look for the size of the report. It's the reported size of the church. Chapter 1, there's about 120 in the room. Chapter 2, 3,000 added to the number on the day of Pentecost. There's a few more, so many thousand were added. And then it getting bigger. And look at it geographically and the spread of the church. The gospel keeps going, growing despite opposition. There's opposition, but not the sort that can stop God's work. My fourth point as we look at this is the inclusion of the Gentiles. Again, very plainly here in Acts 18, Paul comes first to the synagogue, to the Jews, proclaiming that Christianity is the true Judaism. The Messiah has come to fulfill the testimony of the Old Testament scriptures. This is it. And when all who have heard will hear, when all who will hear have heard, let me get it right, and when the rest won't, and he is thrown out, he says, I'll go to the Gentiles. And the church grows. Everyone is welcome to hear this message. The book of Acts of the Apostles is key in the life of the whole of the scripture. You go back to Genesis and God was dealing with the whole of humankind. You get to Genesis 12 and God selected one family out of the world. A man by the name of Abram. And for the next huge section of scripture, he deals with one family. The family of Abraham and of David and of Christ. And when Christ has come and done what needed to be done and returned to heaven, the very next thing we read is that God, the Holy Spirit, comes and falls on Abraham's family. Well, yes, that's what we're called, but actually it's every family, the whole of the world. And key in the book of Acts is this moment. In the book of Acts, we have the reopening of God speaking to all humanity and welcoming all humanity in. I must move on. You can explore that for yourself some more in this text. Our final point is that the life and organization of the church is shown here in the book of Acts. The history teaches us. The church is God's church. He leads it by his word given to his people that they may share it with others. The way the church is to set itself up is described to us in the book of Acts. How we interpret that's a bit of a challenge. We have to work out whether the book of Acts is descriptive, it's an account of a number of individual churches, or prescriptive, it teaches us how to do it. The best solution, I think, is this. Unless the rest of the New Testament tells us otherwise, the Acts of the Apostles are prescriptive. They're telling us how to do it. So where there's disagreement, where the rest of this New Testament contextualizes it and says, well, that's a bit unusual, we must accept that that's what happened, that it was a one-off. But for the most part, and where the rest of the New Testament agrees with, for instance, the appointment of elders and deacons as constituting leadership within the church, we listen to the Acts of the Apostles as God's word teaching us how to set up the church, ways of praying, ways of doing evangelism. All these things we find in this book. It is the history of the church, but it's also our handbook for how, with the rest of the New Testament, we can be God's people. Here in this text, we find the way in to the life of the church. May I just draw our attention to that briefly in verse 8. Many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. This is a standard. We find it time and time again. If you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, if the message has come and you've heard it, you have been convicted, it has challenged you, you have now no doubt you are a sinner. God is glorious and holy and perfect, and you just do not belong with him. If you have come to that understanding, and if the message has come as it should with the glorious grace of the gospel, God doesn't want that separation to continue. He is reaching out to you. He knows you are fearful of him because of your failure and his glory. But he is reaching down to you. Will you take his hand? Will you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? Will you accept his grace? Will you believe? Will you? When you say yes, the New Testament tells us, the Acts of the Apostles, this verse says, be baptized. Believe and be baptized, that you may declare, not just in your heart to God, because nobody else can see you reaching up to take his hand and say, I believe. The text says, do that. Believe. And then go through the waters of baptism as a sign of your belief, to tell the church, to tell the world that you have been rescued by God. This book of Acts is here for the church to challenge us and encourage us and enable us to go on as the church with God, giving him the glory, being his people. It's to help us to persevere at the work he wants us to do. Friends, don't ever forget God's at work. It's hard sometimes, but he is at work. Don't ever give up on the message and the mission that he is sending us on. What a mission to tell the world of Jesus Christ. What a message to bear. Good news. There's a savior from sin. Don't be surprised by opposition, but don't ever expect the message to fail, because the gospel will keep going. Don't forget the message is for all. It's not our choice who we go to, This message is for everyone, from the high-born lords of the land who have a lot, to those who have nothing and perhaps sleep rough at night. And don't forget, God is building his church his way and has given us a good guidance in how to do it. We begin in belief and baptism. This is the book of Acts, useful for us. Let's pray. Father, help us to hear your word, we pray. Help us to understand the challenge of your scriptures. Help us, we ask, to listen to the fact that you are at work. Help us never to doubt this. Help us never to turn away from what you're doing. Help us never to give up on that mission and that message, but to be committed to it. In business, in life, in our homes, in our work. Father, help us never to be caught out and surprised by opposition. And help us to trust that your message will be successful, will go out, will not be stopped, that we can take this message anywhere and everywhere, for it is indeed for all, and that you are building your church. Lord, may we be committed to these things and encouraged to do these things for your glory, we pray. Amen.